I love it.
Yes, it is what you get.
Is this solely because of my new job?
Maybe. Who are we?
Fuck, I'm Madison.
And I'm Sydney.
This is Bitches and Witches.
This is Bitches and Witches. It's been for fucking ever.
It's been a while. Yeah, a lot has changed.
We can't seem to get our shit together.
Nope.
And
It's fine.
College is hard, and I want to murder many people.
Right? Don't you now feel bad about all the shit that you gave me when I first started, and I was telling you how hard it was and how much I was struggling, and you were saying, like, oh, I bet I'll be fine. How does that karma taste?
Nah, I don't feel bad.
Why am I not surprised that you don't feel bad?
Because I'm a petty ass bitch.
I know, but I like that I can now say I told you so, because I did tell you so. I told you, when you start college, you're going to see just how hard it is and how much, like, how difficult it can be. And you're like, I don't think so, but suck on that, bitch.
Are we allowed to talk about your relationship status?
Yeah.
Because I fucking told you so, you little hooker.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're a hooker, but you are.
Why am I a hooker? I've never once been paid to have sex with any person. Yet now thinking back, I should have been paid for the lack of orgasms that I was given.
I don't know. It was just the first thing that came to mind.
Rude. So, yes, I am now single. I've been single as a Pringle for almost a month now. I think almost 3 weeks. I don't know for sure, but yeah, me and my long-term boyfriend of a year and a half, Bryce, decided that we were gonna go our separate ways, and you know, thankfully everything's been good, and I'm very, very lucky that things ended well and that I didn't need you because
I am a shit show.
You suck when I go to you for breakups.
I am a shit show right now.
You really are a shit
show. I hope nobody needs me because I cannot need myself right now.
No.
College is kicking my ass and I'm dying, so...
That brings me a lot of joy.
I hate you.
That's okay. But yeah, so, newly single, and I just barely got a new job, and I'm very, very excited for it. I made a new best friend. I have a new best friend now.
Is that who you've been posting on Snapchat?
With whom you have probably seen. Yeah. Her name is Sam, and I love her because, how we became friends was a fun story, so,
oh God. Did you break her finger, too?
No, I didn't break her finger, but her ex did try to cheat on me with her, so I don't know which was worse.
What the fuck?
And I think you would really like her. She's a lot like me. So, technically a lot like us.
I can only handle one of you. I'm just kidding.
She's a better, more mature version of me.
That's boring. No, I'm just kidding. There's no happiness with me, only bitter.
Facts. Alrighty, well, are we here ready to try and do this bitch with me?
Oh dear.
So this takes place in France. So there's a lot of French stuff.
Good thing you took French.
I took a year, and I barely remember anything, but, you know, that's fine. And I've had these notes done for a while, and so all of the times that I, like, you know, I did look it up, that is now gone out of my brain. So, you know, this is gonna be fun. So, we are covering the Marquis de Brinvilliers. Yep. Ah, this is gonna be fun. So, Marie Madeleine de Aubray was the oldest of five children and was born July 22nd, 1630 in Paris, France, to a wealthy and influential household. So, we're taking this away fucking back.
The way, way back machine.
The way, 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 way back machine. Like, we gotta get in the TARDIS for this bitch.
Hell yeah.
Ugh. Love the TARDIS. I'm waiting for my TARDIS, but, you know, it's fine.
Same.
So her dad was Antoine Drez d'Aubray, and he had multiple government and high-ranking positions. And then her mom, Marie Ollier, was the sister of Jean-Jacques Ollier, who founded the Sulpicians and established the settlement Ville-Marie in New France, a.k.a. Montreal.
Canada?
Yes. Marie later said that she was actually she was sexually assaulted at seven, but didn't name who it was. And then she started to have sexual relations with her younger brother, Antoine.
That's not disturbing.
Nope. In 1651, at 21, she married Antoni Gobelin.
At least she's not 15.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
He was a Baron de Noir. Whose estate was worth 800,000 French monies. And I don't remember what it was, and I forgot to write it down. Sorry, guys.
Was it francs?
I don't think francs is... I don't know. Money.
Okay.
It was worth a lot of money. Leave me alone.
Okay. French monies.
French monies. I don't know. It's a lot of money. That's all we care about. Marry a rich man, ladies. Or do humans.
It. Do it.
Marry a rich old man and then stage his death to look like an accident and then sail around the world. I don't know.
That's what I would do.
Get that bag, honeys.
Do it.
After the marriage, Marie's father gave the couple a house at 12 Rue Saint-Paul in Maurice, which was an aristocratic district of Paris. Together, they went on to have three children, which were two girls and a boy. She would later go on to have a total of seven children, and four were expected to be illegitimate. So, you know, she was creeping outside of her marriage bed and getting into others.
But, like, marriage, you know, bed.
Marriage bed. I don't know. We're going old. We're going back to way, way yesteryear, so I'm using yesteryear talk.
Yesteryear. Well, way, way yesteryear is the name of the episode.
Way, way in yesteryear.
Beautiful.
I try. She would go on to have a long-lasting affair with St. Croix, which her father obviously wasn't happy to hear about because, you know, God forbid you have an affair because you are a woman in the 16th century and therefore are viewed as property, and, you know, you can't leave your marriage if it's unhappy.
Yep.
You know, but whatever. You know, he... Ooh, one sec.
Beautiful. Did you say you're dying?
See.
We're not that lucky.
You're right. Nobody is that lucky to have me cross over into the next realm.
Correct.
Sorry, guys. You're stuck with me for a long time. The reason why he wasn't happy to hear about this was because if it became public, it would damage his reputation due to their high position in French society.
I mean, okay, you know. Kind of valid, though.
I mean, yeah, but also, like, oh, his poor ego, the fragile male ego.
Yeah.
It's not like this woman is any better. She's a bitch. It just was, just, meh. I'm in a very, like, fuck the patriarchy mood, so, you know.
I can tell.
Fuck the patriarchy. he was also unhappy that Marie was actually in the process of separating her wealth from her husband's because her husband was gambling it away. This was almost like divorcing him, which we all know is wrong and worthy of burning in hell.
Woo, my favorite.
Woohoo! Hellfire, hellfire, this burning desire.
I love that movie.
Me too. Okay. I lost my spot. Okay. Ha ha ha. In. Oh, wait. Hold up. I got years wrong. Sorry, guys. One of my things are wrong. In a certain year that I got incorrect. Sorry, my guys. Marie's father actually got her lover arrested and imprisoned for a little under 2 months. And while he was imprisoned, it is thought that that is where he learned about the art of poisoning.
Ooh.
Yes, once he was released, he did get married, but he did remain in close contact with Marie. So, you know, they're still boning.
Gross.
Yes, how dare they?
Yes, my virgin ears.
Such a virgin.
Yes.
Oh, funny jokes, honey. So he would go on to start an alchemy business, which allowed him to continue working with poisons. And under his tutoring, Marie began to experiment with said poisons. It is suggested at the beginning that Marie would test her poisons on 6 hospital patients.
Great.
Right? A report made by the Lieutenant General of Paris Police, Gabriel Nicolas de Lorraine, who, after speaking with Marie, indicated that the pretty and delicate high-born woman from a respectable family would amuse herself in observing how different dosages of her poisons took effect on the sick.
My favorite.
Right? She would practice her poisons at the Hotel Dieu, which was close to Notre Dame. So, you know, woohoo! The hunchback was looking over this, shaking his head and his hump.
Shrieking his hump. I don't think that's how that works.
He's just shaking his head so vigorously that the hump is, like, going along with it.
Oh, dear.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm going to hell.
You are.
So are you.
Well, according to Christians, I'm now guaranteed a spot if I'm gonna work with the deity that keeps talking to me.
How does working with Loki secure you a spot in heaven?
In hell?
Oh, in hell. Sorry, I don't know why I thought that this was, it was gonna be securing you a spot in heaven. I'm like, honey, the Christians hate the deities.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's Loki. He's the god of mischief.
Oh, dude, I'm so fucking excited.
I'm honestly a little jealous, but I'm happy for you.
I'm excited and terrified at the same time.
I'm not ready for deity work, so I'm, like, I'm very happy that there are no gods or goddesses reaching out to me, because I'm not ready for that shit. That shit scares me. So I'm gonna watch how much your life falls apart and burns.
Oh, a lot, because I'm definitely not ready. But, you know, here we are. I'm just going to say fuck it and let's go, because I'm an Aries.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to blame it on the fact that you're an Aries and not that you crave chaos.
For the longest time, my name in Shelby's phone was Chaos.
I miss her. I haven't talked to her in so long. We need to, like, get you, me, Shelby, and Tate together again.
True. Okay, anyways, story. Sorry, tangent.
Anyways. the hospital wasn't a well-managed hospital. It was overflowing with patients. And the hospital workers were more worried about saving souls than saving lives. So, deaths, no matter how suspicious the circumstances, just went unnoticed.
Great.
Because, you know, that's how you want a hospital ran.
Oh, yeah.
Marie would also experiment on her servants, tainting their food with her experimental poisons.
Delicious!
She was never tried of these crimes because they were only alluded to after she was executed. So, unfortunately, you know, these poor people never really got justice.
Why would they? That would be nice.
Right? In 1666, Marie started to slowly poison her father, and he would later die that year on September 10th.
Wonderful!
Yeah, and how she did this was she had hired a man named Gascon.
Gaston?
No, Gascon.
Well, no, his name is Gaston now.
It's Gaston. To her father's household, so to slowly administer the poison to her father.
Great, so not only did Gaston try to kill Beast, he did kill somebody.
Yep. It's a good thing the Beast killed Gaston.
True. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movies.
Oh my, I literally, the only people who have not seen the movies are like infants.
Spoiler alert, don't let your infants listen to this show.
Yes, let's not spoil Beauty and the Beast for your infant who's so going to remember all of this.
Yes.
A week before her father's death, he had invited Marie and her children to stay with him. And Marie would give him multiple doses of poison called Glacier's recipe, which was a mixture of chemicals that would show his death as natural causes resulting from the autopsy that would be performed.
So, this is giving me ideas.
I'll start finding what the ingredients were.
Yes, please do.
And then after his death, Marie inherited some of his wealth, which she quickly burned through and needed more.
Of course she did.
Right.
This is why budgeting is important.
Can you tell my ex that?
Can I tell you that?
Excuse me, I am good at budgeting.
How much did you spend on blush?
Oh my God, that was one time before.
And you wound up not even liking it that much is the best part. I love you.
I'm gonna slit your throat. You're not going to make it to your wedding day. But if you're keeping the blush part in, you gotta keep this part in, which is I had just barely started my first job, like a real legitimate job that wasn't just babysitting or math tutoring, and I had no idea what I was doing. And then when I went and took my one concurrent enrollment class that they taught us, and they gave us the breakdown of the percentages that should be your budget, that is when I got good at budgeting, so you can fight me.
I will fight you.
At least I've had a job, okay?
Some of us are very severely broken.
I'm very aware. I was there for almost all surgeries.
You're welcome.
Oh, God. Okay. So she decided that she was going to poison her two brothers and hoped that by doing so, she would get their share of their father's fortune because, to her knowledge, she was their next, she was the next heir. Even though her two brothers did live in the same household, Marie wasn't on the best terms with either of them, which made it harder to poison them compared to her father.
Great. Smart boys, right? Smart boys. For once.
Just, yeah, have a bad relationship with your sister, even though you live in the same household, and it might keep you alive.
Don't give my brother that idea.
Taylor!
I will murder both of you. And only he will have the pretty grave.
That's so mean.
You're the one that gave him the idea.
Why does he get a pretty grave? Why can't he have an ugly grave like mine?
Because I like him more. It's a sibling thing. If you had siblings, you would understand.
Okay, fair. God damn. Okay. My only child heart is hurting now because, you know, I consider you a sibling, but that's fine.
I don't count. I wasn't birthed from the same mother.
We have the same last name. It fucking counts.
It's close.
Bitch, the people in the hospitals believe us when we say we're related because we look so alike.
It's not hard to fucking trick people when we have the same goddamn last name.
They don't even look at my last name. They look at us, and we look so similar, we could legit pass off as siblings.
That's fair.
Okay, where did... Okay, I found my spot. So she then hired a man named Jean Hamelin to work as the footman of her brother's household.
Alexander Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton did kill people outside of the war, apparently.
Yes.
Jean went straight to work, but Antoine started to suspect that he was being poisoned when he noticed that his drinks began to have a metallic taste.
Amateurs!
Right?
Don't leave metallic taste, you dumbasses.
So the first poisoning attempt failed, clearly. But during the Easter feast, Antoine fell ill after eating a pie and never recovered, and then died on June 17th, 1670.
Gee, I wonder what the cause was.
Who knows?
He was allergic to the pecans!
To the pecans! It was the pecans!
It was.
Jean then started poisoning the second brother after this, and he ended up dying later that year in September.
Great.
Their autopsies would hint at poisoning because their intestines were suspiciously colored, but it was concluded that they both died of, quote, malignant humor.
Humor?
Humor.
Like laughing, humor.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked it up, but, you know, it's been a while, so.
Okay.
So many people started to suspect that their deaths were due to poisoning because of how close their deaths were to each other. Like, that's very uncommon for two brothers to die within the same year when they seem to be perfectly young and healthy.
Well, okay, so malignant is like cancer, because if you have a malignant tumor, it's a cancerous tumor, so what the fuck?
I don't know. I looked it up, and I forgot. And I forgot to look it up again. I'm sorry.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I know. But Jean was never suspected, so the youngest brother loved Jean so much that upon his death, he gave Jean 100 crowns, which are French coins. Aww. I know. Marie's poisonings continued to go undiscovered until 1672. Hold on, I want to make sure that I'm getting these years right. It's looking like, okay, cool. So I had only fucked up once. Awesome. Go me.
Proud of you.
Thank you. So her poisonings went undiscovered until 1672, when her lover and conspirator passed.
You broke up.
Many think that he...
You broke up between lover.
So Marie's poison... Oh. Upon the death of her lover and conspirator. So many think that he died due to an accident in exposing himself to his poisons, but others believe that he just died from a disease.
I'm going with poison. It's more satisfying.
True, and also that would just make more sense in my opinion.
True.
So when he died, he owed a lot of money, and among his possessions was a box containing a letter between him and Marie, various poisons, and a note promising a sum of money to him from Marie, dated around the time her father started feeling sick, which ended up reopening the case of foul play for her father and brothers. The contents were instructed to be given to Marie upon his death, and were then resealed and given to the commissary Picard until formal procedures could happen.
Great.
Right? Jean then went to Picard, explaining that his former boss owed him money and provided a suspiciously accurate account of Saint-Croix's lab. Picard mentioned to Jean that among Saint's possessions was the box with the incriminating letters. After hearing this, Jean fled, leading Picard to demand an inquest for Jean for this suspicious behavior.
Wonderful.
Right? So, Jean was soon found, and during interrogation, implicated only himself but Marie for her crimes against her family.
Good.
Yeah. Jean was then tortured before being executed on March 24th, 1673.
We love the French.
Right. You know, let's just torture them and then kill them, even though they already gave us all the information.
Yeah.
So, the same day as Jean's execution, Marie was condemned in absence for her crimes, and a warrant went out for her arrest. Upon hearing the news that the box was found, Marie fled to France to hide in England, fled from France to hide in England and evaded authorities for multiple years, who continued to search for her. While in hiding, Marie lived off of money that her sister, Marie Teresa, sent her until she died in 1674, leaving Marie with little money to survive on.
Why the fuck would you send your sister, who was literally convicted of killing the rest of your family, money?
You do what you have to do for your sister. I don't know. I don't have siblings.
If you murdered somebody, I would turn your ass in.
That is debatable.
That is debatable. I wish I could say it's not, but it is.
Don't lie to me.
I tried.
Yeah. She continued to evade capture by moving from place to place every so often. And in 1676 in Belgium, Marie rented a room. And the person with whom she rented the room from... Hold on. This got weird. Okay, sorry. So, Marie rented a room and then came in contact with authorities who recognized her and alerted the French government, who then had her arrested. Among her possessions in the convent... she rented a room in a convent. Sorry, guys. That sentence got really fucked up somehow, and I don't know how.
Because we're hard.
Yes. So among her possessions in the convent was a letter entitled My Confessions, which detailed the various crimes she had committed over the years, along with other personal information. In this letter, she admitted to poisoning her father, her two brothers, attempting to poison her daughter, sister, and husband, but clearly the last three were unsuccessful.
Great!
She also confessed to having many affairs and that three of her children weren't her husband's.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Right? And while being extradited to France, Marie had various unsuccessful suicide attempts.
Wonderful.
Right? Because France was a Catholic state at the time of her execution, a confessor was given to Marie in her final hours. Which I guess was just so for her to confess her sins to. The man chosen was Abbé Adam Pirot, who compiled an account of her final hours where she speaks of her life leading up to her crimes. Before her death, Marie was subjected to a form of torture known as water cure, where the subject was made to drink large amounts of water in a short period of time, usually through a funnel.
Jesus.
Yeah. Pirot states that when faced with the prospect of torture, Marie said that she would confess to all, even though she knew this wouldn't alleviate the torture sentence.
Great.
Yeah. She gave no new information except that she had once sold poison to a man who intended to kill his wife. After 4 hours of torture, she entered her final confession session with Pirot in the prison chapel. As she left the chapel, a group of aristocrats gathered to see her death march as she and the abbe walked to her place of execution. She was covered in a white slip, which was the traditional outfit for the condemned at their execution.
Great.
On their way to her execution, they stopped at Notre Dame, where Marie would perform the Amen Honorable inside the cathedral. And I looked it up, but I don't remember anymore. I'm sorry. As they arrived to where she would be executed, Marie was unloaded from the cart and was brought up to the platform where the executioner shaved her hair before pulling off a sword and chopping her head off. Marie later said that if her father didn't have her lover arrested, she probably wouldn't have poisoned him.
What the fuck?
I know.
It's a very random and not valid reason to poison your own dad.
Right? Like, you got my lover locked up, so you know what, Daddy? I'ma kill ya.
Yeah.
My dad better sleep with a gun underneath his pillow.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to. Dad, if you're listening to this, I promise I am not going to poison you if you get somebody I'm in a relationship with arrested, because they probably deserved it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my case.
Hooray!
Yeah, yeah, you know, taking it back to yesteryear, so... That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, so fun.
I love that so much.
Dang. Well, if you enjoyed whatever the hell this episode was, you can there we go. My colored pencils came open. It's fine.
loser.
You can follow us on Instagram.
And that is at b.witchespod.
On Twitter.
At @_witches.
Join our lovely Facebook group that has been quiet lately.
Yeah, we need to post on that, but it's fine. It's Bitches and Witches Podcast. And use the password Giggling Granny to get in, please. Are you okay?
There's a chunk of ice stuck in my coffee straw, and I sucked it out, and it went and hit the back of my throat, and it was a lovely choking experience.
because I said please.
Why? No.
I don't know, but I just was like, it just is me saying please so funny to her that she's gonna spit her damn drink out?
Yes. No, the rest of our plugs. You can also visit our Patreon that I'm pretty sure Maddie doesn't know.
Yeah, nope, I don't know it.
Yes. So if you, for some reason, like us, which I don't know why you would, but you would, you can support our Patreon at patreon.com/bitches. And you can also go to our website, which is bwpod.weebly.com, and I almost forgot what our website was.
Nice. Also, thank you to my mom for still being our only Patreon supporter.
Yeah. Nobody likes us. It's fine.
Shout out to my mom.
Yeah.
We just need to make Patreon content.
We really do. Also, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, because I still want my hate comments.
She really does.
And I thrive off of chaos.
I am chaos, so I mean.
This is why we are sisters, is because I thrive off of chaos and you are chaos.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I figured out why I'm chaos.
Oh, God, why?
I'm an Aries sun and a Leo rising.
Oh, damn.
But it's fine, because I have an Aquarius moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't help much.
Is it, though?
No.
No, it really doesn't.
It helps a little bit, but not much.
Not much. Not enough to make it significant.
Correct. Anyways, and speaking of hate comments and hate mail, you can email us.
Yes, at b.witchespodcast@gmail.com. Yeah. I know that part.
Do you want to tell them about the... What the fuck did we decide to call it? Witchy kinks? Kinky witches? What the fuck did we decide to call it?
Oh my gosh, I know exactly. We don't remember what the actual name of the segment was going to be. We had it pulled up and then, you know, we took this break, so.
Yeah.
But when we remember what it's called, we'll let you know. But basically, if you want to, all consensual, if you want to send us some of your sexy stories that maybe it was your best experience, your worst experience, your funniest experience, just whatever you want, send that to us in a cute little email and we will read it on our Patreon, and we will also be sharing some of our own stories.
Anonymously. You can send it anonymously and we won't know who you are.
Yes, that is. Well, we will know who you are if your email, like, has your name in it, but we won't tell who you are. All we are going to need are your pronouns and then the partner's pronouns. That's all that we need. We won't, like, we'll keep it zipped up. Like, we won't tell, like, throw away the key. We're not going to tell anybody. We're not going to discuss it out of that episode. Just... you know, throwing a little spice, if you will.
Correct.
And also, if you want, you know, we'll also do, like, if you want advice, I will be happy to provide that because I am just the person everybody goes to when they have questions about sex.
I think that is all of our plugs.
Oh, if you're going to send us an email, please make sure to include your pronouns and whether or not you would like to remain anonymous. Obviously, if you don't want to remain anonymous, then also please give us your beautiful name.
Yes, that.
Yeah.
Now I think that's everything.
Now I think that is it.
What the fuculent?
What the camel, dude? God damn the forks.
God damn all the forks. Keep it bitchy.
God damn all the damn forks.
Yes.
Keep it witchy, guys. Keep it witchy, guys. Bye.
Bye. Damn it, stop recording. Bye. How do I stop this recording? I forgot. Oh, fuck. How do I stop this recording? I'm pretty sure I just downloaded it. How the fuck do I stop this recording? I'm so
confused.
Please
keep that part in. Dude, I don't know. Why are you asking me?
I'm mostly